Well, as we complete this year, and man, I'm kind of grateful that 2019 is over. I'm grateful. I can look back, and there were some ups, there were some downs, and I don't want to focus on the downs. You know, they were there for a reason. God has a purpose in your pain. There's a plan. I know this. Here we are. Whatever it was you thought was going to kill you back in May, didn't. Here you are. Whatever bill you thought you were never going to pay off, might have got paid off by now. Okay, God is a good God. As we complete this series today on the Christmas lights, and that's been kind of our fun focus, and we looked at different things. I want to look at this with this last one. The reality of Christmas is this. It can be over like that. In fact, it came upon us very quickly, and then it was over before we knew it. All the trappings, all the trimmings, all the lights, all the everything's going to come down. Everything is going to be. My wife is a queen decorator, I don't know when you're going to do it. Probably this week, sometime. All the decorations are going to disappear in the house, and we're going to walk in the house, and it's just going to. You know that feeling where it's like, it seems empty in here. It's not. It's the same as it was before you decorated. It's just that the decorations are gone. And so what I want to, the message today is this: leave the lights on. I want to make sure that as we're going into 2020, that we'll leave a light on. Now, where does that come from? Motel 6 came up with that phrase years ago. Now, I hate commercials because they stick with you forever, especially the jingles, right? Oh, fab, I'm glad. Yeah, you can finish it, right? There's all kinds of commercials that they'll stick with you. I don't like them, but this is one. This is a message that I think preaches. When it comes to the end, you know what? Let's not just take all the lights down and forget it. Let's leave a light on. Let's continue to shine throughout 2020. In fact, the 2020 vision for us is let's just shine like never before. And what if we stuck together and we shined together like never before? What does that look like that we leave a light on? I know it sounds catchy, but it really should be our focus that Jesus is the light of the world. We saw that in the first week. And then we saw how that John the Baptist was a spotlight to shine a light on Jesus and to point everyone towards Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. So all these messages are built upon themselves. What I want to say is, and then last week I gave everyone an opportunity to turn the light switch on for themselves or allow God to turn the switch on and to accept Jesus Christ. But all that to say this, let's not stop. We've brought attention to Christ. Let's not stop. Let's leave a light on. Another thing, this is just kind of not in my notes, but I want to encourage us. It came to me this year that, and I think I thought of it years ago, but it just kind of came back to me. But I thought, it's beautiful in here. The team did a great job decorating. But what difference does it make if the world has no idea what goes on here?
That's right.
So next year, my encouragement and my challenge, and I'm going to throw this out as a mini commercial, by the way, is I want to challenge us next year that we decorate the outside 10 times better than we do the inside. I want this corner to be lit up next year. And I want us to make a open show boastfully. That's one of the words for praise. I want to boast about God. And so I say that because all the Christmas decorations that are on, they're all on sale right now. 50 and Carol Michael was here. She used to work at Walmart. She said it'll be 70% off in the next couple days. So you can go and get decorations. We don't have any decorations for the outside. So if God puts it on your heart and you want to go get some decorations so that we can decorate the church next year on the outside, I'm going to go spend some money and buy some. My wife and I went just the other day. We bought 6 Christmas trees and all the lights to put on them. We spent under $200 for 6 Christmas trees. So next year it's going to be beautiful in here. We've already designed next year's set, and so it's really cool. So I just want to encourage you. It doesn't do a bit of good to make it all pretty for us, and it's wonderful. But for the world's sake, I want to make sure we turn the light on out there. I want to make sure that they're brought in and that we are attracting people to Christ. And so let's leave the light on. Here's the sermon. Right after the Beatitudes, Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill." That sounds a little bit like Alpine. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The thread that the New Testament weaves is this idea of a spiritual light, and it continues to repeat throughout the Scriptures. In 1 John, he says this. I'm sorry, in John chapter 1, he says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. We've been given a light, a spiritual light. And it's the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I love that. The darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the revelation of God Himself. But Jesus also knew that He was coming to die on a cross, that there was a plan, that at one point He was going to ascend to heaven. And then when that happened, His plan was to turn the entire mission over to us. John the Baptist was the forerunner. He came to proclaim that Jesus was coming, the Messiah was coming. Then Jesus comes and He says, I'm the Messiah. Then He leaves and He says, now you go tell everybody about the Messiah. You go be the light of the world. He's passing the torch to us. And I want to make sure that we keep the torch lit this year. I want to make sure that we keep a light on. In the 14th chapter of John, the entire plan is revealed. It starts off when Jesus tells His disciples that He's going to be going to heaven. And they're like, He says, I'm going to go prepare a place. He's like, how can we know where you're going? How do we get there? And Jesus answered and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. In other words, you've seen the Father. Stop asking who the Father is. I mean, I'm throwing words in there. But so He's saying, you've seen the Father. He says, I'm the light of the world. I came here to show you God's love. And soon I will finish what I came to do. Philip was still a bit confused. And he said this, or asked this, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for you. Again, he's confused. It's almost like Jesus needed to look at him and say, Philip, I am your Father. He says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I did not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me. Who is doing His work? Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus is basically saying, Philip, I'm the exact representation of the light of God in this world. I am the exact representation. In fact, the Scriptures say in Hebrews that the Son, S-O-N, capital S, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things, that's us, by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. And this is what Jesus was communicating to the disciples. His mission was about to be completed. His portion. Then He's going to step away and He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would empower us to do this mission. The Holy Spirit would give us the power to be the witnesses that we're supposed to be. No one is asking you, especially God, especially your pastor, no one's asking you to go out and do this in your own strength and your own power. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so you'll have the power to do this. You'll have the courage. You'll have the boldness. He'll provide everything you need. You'll have the faith to go out and share the gospel. It's important to know that the radiance of God's glory is the exact representation of His being. And that is who we are now. As the body of Christ, we're the exact representation of His being. We're the body of Christ. Do you believe that? Many parts, many members, many different gifts. I look at big shoes next week. We're going to have all kinds of different looking shoes. Everyone's got their own giftings, their own talents, but no one's asking you to fill anybody else's shoes. Fill the shoes that God has put. I don't want to preach next week. Just Jesus is communicating to his disciples that basically He's communicating, I'm about to tag out and it's you. I grew up in the 80s loving wrestling. Anybody enjoy WWF in the 80s? Nobody wants to admit it. I know it's fake. But you know what? In the late at night, when you get home from whatever you're out doing in college, that was on. It was just kind of something we did, and so you know we enjoy. We would sit up and just laugh and have a good time. I remember all the good ones: Randy, Macho Man, Sad, right? All the good ones, right? But what I loved about wrestling, one of the things I loved was the tag team wrestling. You know, the Killer Bees. Remember? Yeah, the Bushwhackers. I remember, because the rules are, is one's in the ring, if he starts to have a hard time, if he can reach his partner, he can tag out and the partner can come in. And then the funny thing is there's this little loophole of about 20 seconds that two of them can gang up on one, but you have to do it within 20 seconds and then you got to leave. It's kind of a fun, if you don't like wrestling, just check out. I'll get back to the message in a moment. But what I love is this: there are times that I feel like, Lord, if I don't touch you, if I don't tag, I got to tag out right now. I need you to step in. And guess what he does every time? As soon as I open my mouth and ask for God's help, he shows up. I can tag out. This is kind of the same thing. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see what I did there? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is why we need to do this. This is why we need to shine the light. I need to shine the light for you. You need to shine the light for me. There might be some times when my light's going a little dim and I need your help to find my way. That's why we do life groups. So we can connect. One of the things I want to do more in 2020 than we've done this year, the last year, is connect. Some of you people are amazing. Some of you people, no. Some of you people are really, I know you. I get to know you. You should be jealous that I know many of your stories. Last week I shared seven stories, seven different people who God has completely changed their lives. And some of those people you didn't even know. Mostly because you come to this service. And they might go to last night or they might come to the next service. And we're just not connecting like that. I want us to connect a little more this year. So we're going to design some events that where we can connect, because you all are amazing. And I like you. You should want to get to know each other. You're amazing people. And we need one another. Because in this carrying the light thing, I can grow weary. Even Moses had two holding up his arms, Aaron and Hur, right? There's times where we need each other. In fact, we just need each other. John 14 goes on to say this: truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. If we're going to accomplish greater things, we've got to step into great things. We've got to follow greatness. That's what we're going to go for next week as we begin to follow greatness. But doing that, we want to encourage one another. I want to make sure that I'm encouraging you. I want to make sure that I'm stirring up the gifts in you. I want to make sure that you sense the light. Jesus then brings the theme full circle in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, I came as the light of the world, and I've shown you exactly what God is like, basically. Through me, you've seen God's glory. I've shown you his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. I've shown you his power. Now, tag, you're it. You're on. Forget my wrestling illustration. It's more like the Olympic torch, passing the torch on. It's a little better illustration when it comes to light for this case. Let's turn the light on. But nobody, you don't light a torch or light a candle and hide it under and hide it. No one does that. We didn't light these candles this morning for a reason. You don't light a candle and then hide it. What happens when you hide it? Goes out. Well, at the very least, it's not effective any longer. It doesn't lead anywhere. Doesn't it? Who does that? Who lights a light and covers it up? Jesus said, no one does that. We turn on the light. And not only do we turn on the light, they took light very seriously. When this scripture was put there, this meant a lot. No one hides a light under a bushel. That made sense to them. You and I were like, that doesn't even make, why would anybody do that? It made sense to them because light meant everything. It was not like they had a lot of wealth. They didn't have generators. They certainly didn't have electricity. They had candles or they had lanterns, and they would light those things, and they took it very seriously. And maybe if they weren't very wealthy, they may have only had one candle. So the one candle they did have, they didn't just light it. They would light it and they would put it up somewhere really high so that it would radiate as far as, so they would get maximum impact. I want to lift Jesus up as high as we can this year to get maximum impact. I want to do good works for the Lord to have maximum impact. Not to bring, I'm jumping all the way to the end of my sermon already. That's okay. You guys will get out early today. I don't want to bring attention to us, per se. I don't want to decorate the outside of the church just to bring attention to us. I want it to bring attention to God. I want it to cause people to go, they drive by and go, wow, that church is really lit up. Or, hey, is that a church? There have been people that, I had a cop pull me over in our parking lot and said, oh, this is a church? A cop that works here in town. I was like, wow. I thought to myself, that was quite a few years ago. I thought to myself, man, I got some work to do. If a sheriff doesn't even know that this is a church, that's it. We got some work to do. And they come here like three times a week for false alarms. So I don't know how they didn't know. Anyway, just saying. Basically, Jesus is saying he's left the world. He's at the right hand of God, and he's asking, he's telling you and I that we are now the light of the world and that we shine as lights in the world. Now let me complete the thoughts of Jesus for us on this. He says, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a basket. That's important. There's no point in having him pass the light on to us and to have us cover it up. There's no point in getting the light of Christ. I'm assuming everybody in here has accepted Christ. You've had the light switch turned on. There's no point in us getting together and going, see my light? Isn't my light pretty? Wow, isn't my light pretty? The light is really important to get out of these four walls. It's not just about inside. So this next year, as we move into 2020, 2020 vision is that we would do more outreach. That we would do more things to bring God's attention on God. That our good works would bring the attention to the Lord. He says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and then glorify your Father in heaven. He doesn't say, let your good deeds shine so that they can glorify you. I would be thrilled if somebody goes, you know, Bethel, that's an awesome church. They do a lot of things for the community. That's a wonderful thought, but I want it to go on to the next thought. Those people must really love God. Those people must really get it. They're feeding people every Thursday. They get it. I've had folks comment, you're the church that's feeding people again. That's awesome. I've had people catch me. Because the world knows what we should be doing. The world knows what we should be about. They intuitively know that the people who claim Christ ought to look like him. Ought to love. Ought to care. Ought to encourage. Ought to be encouraging the people around us. Lifting other people up. If we're doing good deeds for any of the wrong reasons, then we're not going to get blessed. If we're only just going to draw attention to ourselves. But we need to do these to glorify the Father in heaven. And what happens is that they see us doing good deeds. We get outside of these four walls. We begin to shine outside. And I mean in your world every single day. Not just as a group, by the way. This is an individual sport and a team sport at the same time. We've got to do it together. And yet, when you get out there in your workplace and you're maybe surrounded by, I'll say the word enemy, but they're not your enemies. You know, you're not surrounded by, you know, like-minded folk. Just, you're going to need to shine. And then that's another thing. Let me encourage you. Get to church. In 2020, get to church. No amens, not one. Wow. Why do I say that? Not one of you forgets to plug your phone in every night. How in the world are we going to continue to spread the light if we don't stay charged up? Doesn't do me a bit of good to have I can have the greatest light, greatest flashlight. The batteries are dead. All it's good for is beat you over the head. And that's what happens when we walk into religion. We just beat people over the head. But when we have a relationship, woo, the light is shining. People see the relationship. They see love. They see joy. They see the fruit of the Spirit. They see peace on your face in the midst of the storm you're going through. They see goodness. They see gentleness. They see self-control. We've got to be careful to stir up the light, to shine the light for Christ, and that the world will see and know that God is real in 2020. In 2020, you don't know the numbers the way I know the numbers. And I'm not massively into numbers in terms of like, you know, we count every week and you know, financially and all that. But let me just say this. If we only had five new families in 2020, it would be a game changer financially for our church. That's how close the numbers are. I'm praying. Now listen, this is gonna, some of you are gonna kind of, I might lose you here for a second, but hang with me. I'm believing for 20 new families, 20 in 2020. 20 new families. Now, somebody in the room is already thinking, why just 20? Why not 100? Why not aim at something? Everybody always wants to go bigger. Oh, no, we should go for 1,000. I'm just going to go for 20, okay? I'm going to work as hard as I can to get 20 brand new families in this church giving, being a part, not just giving in their finances, their time, their talent, their treasure, and their testimony. I'm going for 20. Now that represents, that could be an individual, could be a family. That represents about 50 people. That's adding 50 folks to the church in 2020. I'm believing for 20 families in 2020. Game changer for the church. Forget the lack. Forget that. It ends that. Financially, it changes things. Then we get those folks not just showing up, not five families or not 20 families that just attend, but 20 families that come and invest. Yeah. Yeah. 20 contributors, not 20 consumers. We're always going to have consumers. We're always going to have contributors. But I'm believing God for 20 contributors. And I'm not just talking finances. That's just too easy. That's just one of many areas. It'd be a game changer. 20 new families in 2020. Well, Pastor, what if we get to 20 new? And by the way, I'm watching closely. And I might stand up here just like I do with the Heart for the House. I might stand up here on Sunday and go, hey, by the way, church, 5 new families. And we're going to all rejoice. Because I'm paying attention to who those people are. And I'm not going to count them until as I see, oh, they're really fully engaged. That's what I believe in God for that. 20 new families in 2020. Who wants to believe with me? Okay, here's the next question. Who wants to do this with me? Because here's the deal. I asked the church last night, the Saturday night service, and they're basically all the usual suspects. About there's usually between 25 and 35 people on Saturday night. And I asked them last night, don't you want this service to be packed out? And they're like, yeah, we do. I'm like, good. Help me. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to work harder, but I need your help. I said, every one of you in this room. And so first service, folks, I'm going to ask you the same question. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I know. Here would be a wonderful thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you got here at 9:05 and you couldn't find a chair? That's what I'm believing God for. I think that'd be a wonderful thing. Well, let's do that. There's someone this year. Take a chance. Someone this year that you need to invite. Someone that you need to get here and get involved in church. Someone that needs you to just, believe it or not, they might just come if you just invite them to come. So 20 families in 2020, complete game changer. I'm sorry if that's a little bit too much like inside baseball for you, but you just need to know where my heart is this year. I want to be so effective. Like, I want to live with the urgency as if it is that Jesus is coming back tomorrow. I want to live with that kind of urgency because, you know, to be honest with you, the days are dark and we need the light to shine and we are called to be that light. So this year, I know Christmas is going bye-bye, but let's make sure that we leave a light on. Let's make sure that we're shining like never before. Let's encourage one another. As you see someone, when you see someone doing something good for Christ, encourage them. You see someone, jump into the word won't return void. Every morning, get into the word of God. We'll read through the Bible this year. We'll keep our batteries charged up. We'll be so effective. I'm believing for the greatest year in this church. I've been here 17 years, but I'm believing for just an complete outpouring this year. Not just financially, but spiritually. Not only that, healings. People delivered, set free, addictions broken, bondages broken, people walking into their destiny. That's what I believe God's going to do this year. So it's not just about bringing 20 families in to change the game financially. It's about affecting real lives and real people who are living in really darkness, and they don't even know how dark it is. But when we come along with the light, now all of a sudden you can see. Let's shine the light this year like never before. Would you stand with me this morning? God is good. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. I am so excited about this series. I want to encourage you in the strongest terms possible. Bring someone next week to the very first service on Big Shoes. I guarantee you, they will absolutely leave here inspired. Lord, thank you for this awesome day. Thank you that You've handed us the torch. And now, God, we will run with patience. We will run with faith. We will run to pursue and endure to the end to win the prize. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit, we don't have to run by ourselves, that you come and you equip us and you empower us to run this race. So now, God, this year, 2020, we're asking you, Lord, to perhaps God will act on our behalf. If we just link our faith together, God, we're asking you to act on our behalf. Lord, help us to be so much more effective this year. God, help us to spread the light and the love of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings on you, church. I can't wait till next week.